We are back on In Focus News Radio KMAN. I'm Brandon Peoples, chatting today here with City Manager Ron Fear and Mayor Wynn Butler. Manhattan City Commission meets tonight at 7 o'clock, and again, they'll be discussing the draft Manhattan Development Code and review of Articles 26.6 and 26-7. And we've been talking a little bit about parking and some of the things that will be considered in this code development. One thing, you know, I've noticed since I've moved to Manhattan, and I'm curious because it looks like it is maybe addressed here on page 50 of the packet. It has to do with the way parking is configured, in especially in retail stores. There's a lot of retail stores in this community that don't have the angled parking. I can think Walmart, Hy-Vee, Dillon's is like that. It seems like angled parking would be a little bit more efficient, and maybe that's going to be addressed here in this development code.
I think it'll probably depend on the area, you know, private lots versus public. Typically, angle takes up a little bit more space, so it's one of those things where most developers don't utilize it just because it doesn't maximize. You know, they're looking. Many times they're looking at trying to maximize that parking aspect. So unfortunately, that tends to be not as friendly for the individual user, depending on the size of vehicle they drive and the size of the stalls and all of that. But there are some benefits to angled parking, you know, even some of the new ones, which are hard to transition to, and I don't think we've made that reflection, but we've talked about it, and that's what's called that reverse angle parking. So you back into the stall as opposed to pull into the stall. So I mean, that way you can see when you're getting it pulling out much better. So a lot of rear end accidents happen when people pull out of an angled stall because they can't see as well behind them. So those are certainly the angled stalls, as we've looked at Aggieville, some of the redevelopment changes we've made, and the number of stalls and the angle of that angled stall makes a big difference too, as to how many stalls you can actually have and all of that aspect. So angle tends to accommodate some of those longer vehicles better than perpendicular, for sure.
All right. Well, anything else on the codes here that you think would be relevant here to cover here?
I don't think so. I just encourage folks to all of those proposed changes and chapters are available on our website, and so you folks can follow along. And if they have a specific interest in those areas, encourage them to submit comments to staff and others, and watch as these discussion goes through the planning board as well as the city commission. And there'll be another opportunity, obviously, when we get to formal adoption.
All right. Yeah, this is like the third or fourth meeting you guys have discussed.
I think there's, you know, there's probably four things that I would highlight. One, you know, the section on the flood and notifying tenants and things of that nature, that's expanded a lot. And basically, you know, we've been talking about that for 2 years, so it's about time that we got that put in there, because that was one of the first recommendations, I think, from the Wildcat Creek flood group that I was on, that we met, you know, trying to improve things. And that's something we can actually, you know, make happen. And so that needs to go on there so people know. And then, you know, updating the sign regulations. We had some requests from sign companies about digital billboards. And so that's, you know, that's supposed to be part of that discussion. So I'm looking forward to that. And then it would be nice to get some feedback on what people think about forcing, you know, bike racks, because basically that's what you're doing when you put in the code. You're basically telling a business, you know, you got to put a bike rack up whether you like it or not. And it'd be interesting to see how people feel about that. And the same with the electric charging stations. I'm not so sure I really understand how that's going to work. We're going to require those, you know, exactly where, and does it actually make sense, you know, to do that?
Yeah, with the bike racks specifically, you know, one thing I guess I could see being a challenge would be in Aggieville, with the sidewalks already kind of small there, and maybe also in downtown a little bit. Would every business be required, or would it be like every so far? Or
there were some feet requirements there. There has to be one within, I think, it read 30 or 50 feet. Okay. So it wouldn't be in required in all of them. And I think downtown on points, we probably have enough right now because those little hoops are there. Some people don't realize those hoops are the bike racks, but that's what they are. And it specifies the design of that hoop, which, you know, again, I don't know what the bicyclists think about that. It'd be interesting to get some feedback from them. Do they like that design and do they know how to use it?
Mm-hmm. With regards to the charging stations, do we have any charging stations in this city besides what's over in Blue Earth Plaza?
So those are our only public ones that we've put in. So the issue in the past with the charging stations is that the owner of the station or the land that you're putting it on had to pay for the electricity and couldn't meter it. That's changed. Evergy has a different policy. And so the technology now is that the person who plugs their car into the charging station pays for, just like you're going to fill up gas, you pay for your gas, you need to pay for your electricity. And they've created that station to do it. There's still a lot of challenges with that as far as compatibility of different vehicles. So Tesla, for example, has its own station. It's not compatible with any others. So that becomes this issue of, you know, I don't even think you can use adapters. So it doesn't make a lot of sense that you've got 12 different varieties of charging stations. So I think that's an area of technology that will be changing as more of those vehicles come onto the market, as that there's a universal charging station that you can hook into, much like your phone cords. I mean, you go to different places now to a conference and there's a universal charging station with all kinds of different outlets that you can hook into. But that's the issue. You certainly don't want to have a clutter of charging stations that will accommodate different brands. So that's to me, that's the one of the challenges. There are private businesses in town that have them for their employees.
My thought on that is, as you said, Ron, the thing that I didn't like initially was, you know, the city put in a couple of those public ones. We're paying for the electric if somebody was to actually use them. I've never saw anybody using one of them. So I don't know if that's ever cost us anything. But this seems to me to be more of a private enterprise thing, just like a gas station. I mean, if we're really going to convert to, electric cars over the next 20 years, I would think the gas stations will be displaced. So don't they become the charging stations? Or shouldn't they own the facility? I mean, this shouldn't be a thing where a business has to put a charging station out there or the city, because it seems to not be business friendly. Plus, you know, you already mentioned the problem there of standard plugs. You know, our light bulbs all have standard plugs, you know, fortunately, because there's international standards on things. And that hasn't happened yet with the charging station. So I'm just not enamored by a requirement for some business. You know, if I'm a barber, I don't want to have to put a charging station in front of my shop. Just not interested in that, because that's not what I do. I cut hair. I don't charge cars. So I'm more for letting some businesses take that over. And then if they want to get franchise spots in the city for charging stations, fine, we'll charge them for that. And then they can charge the customer for the electric.
Yeah, we're on In Focus here, News Radio KMAN. We go back to the phone lines now, and Paul joins us. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning. This may come as a shock to you coming from me, but I just wanted new residents of the area and people just tuning into the best radio station in the North American hemisphere. They are so fortunate to have such a good city commission and a good city staff that is tuned up on everything, and especially your mayor that's on at present and the city manager. And that's all I have to say. And the sun might come out and there's no rain, but anyway, no guarantee.
Thanks, Paul.
All right, pretty high praise. Best radio station in the Northern Hemisphere. I like that. That sounds pretty good.
Yeah, that makes your day, right, Brandon? That's pretty good.
Certainly does. Let's go. We'll take a break. We'll come back more In Focus after this on K-Man.